Saturate my soul. Saturate it now. Saturate it with your presence. Miss Gabby, you want to help me preach this morning? She helped me worship, so I guess she wants to help me preach. Saturate my soul. Saturate my soul with your presence. Saturate my soul with your presence, Lord. There is nothing like the presence of the Lord. Nothing like his presence. Nothing like his presence. So God, since there's nothing like your presence, we ask you just to saturate our souls right now.
Yes.
Saturate us with your presence, Lord. Oh, yeah, God. Fill us up. Saturate us. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Saturate us with your presence, Lord. Let your presence fill and saturate us. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, it's a blessing to be here this morning.
Yes.
On this another Mother's Day.
Thank you, Father.
Now think about how good the Father is to us and how much he takes care of us.
Yes.
As me and Gabby was worshiping, she put her hand in her pocket and she said, I don't have no money. I say, Gabby, that's all right. Because Daddy and Mommy got money. So we look around and see we don't have something. All we have to think about is my Father got it.
That's right.
I don't have to worry about it. Because my Father has everything I need.
Yes.
Everything I need. Amen. Has everything I need. So we just praise God. I want to say the last two Sunday services are not up yet. I had to learn how to edit the Zoom. I know how to edit the Zoom now, but then when I downloaded, I got the full version, not the edited version. So I had to go back and learn how to download the edited version, which I have done, but I haven't put them out there yet, but they will be out there. They will be out there. So we thank God for that. We're all learning. And I was thinking about what to share this morning. I thought about it was Mother's Day. And then I thought about something else before Mother's Day came, which can actually, the message can incorporate Mother's Day into it today. But I was inspired to talk about relationships. Relationships. And then I wonder what to title the message for today. And I think I'm going to go with relationship checkup. Relationship checkup. This world is all about relationships. It's all about relationships. We all have relationships. We all had a mother. So at some time or another, even if our mother has passed away, there was a daughter and mother relationship or a son and mother relationship. We all have relationships. But the most important relationship is our relationship with the Lord. And then we have husband and wife relationship. We have mother and child relationship, father and child relationship, friendships, cousins, aunts and uncles, employee and employers, and it goes on. But there, everywhere you go, every day, you have to deal with some type of relationship.
Man.
You're either in a relationship that has to be maintained, you either ended a relationship that you no longer have, or you enter into a new relationship that now has to be built upon. Y'all have relationships. And relationships are important. They are very important. God is our Father. Jesus is his Son. And we also have the Holy Spirit. We are God's children, we're his sons, and we're his daughters. And we, in the body of Christ, make up a family. And a family that works and operates the way it should is a good, godly family.
Yes, it is.
And God wants us to have godly families. He wants to have a good relationship with him in the body of Christ. And it doesn't matter. You know, we have, just like we have different families, there's the Vines family. There's the AKA family. There's the Foster family. You know, we have all, there's the Sutton family and the Campbell family. And we got the Greason family and all the families on the Zoom. We have different families in the body of Christ with different last names, but we're all in the same body and part of the same family.
Yes.
We're all related in the body of Christ. We're all related. And we were designed by God specifically for relationships.
Yes.
We were born to have a relationship with God and then let that relationship overflow into our relationship with others.
Yes.
God designed us for relationship. He didn't just save us just so we wouldn't go to hell.
Right.
Sin was in the way of us becoming and being the family that God wanted us to be with him. He wanted sons and daughters. And sin kept us from being the sons and daughters he could communicate and have with him. He wanted family. He wanted family. Once we are born again, we are designed for that seamless heart-to-heart connection with God. We are on a relational journey. We're on a relational journey. So what is relationship? What is relationship? I read earlier in Genesis 2:18 where the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparative to him." Adam had a relationship with God. But God was spirit and Adam was flesh. There was no other being whose flesh was like Adam until God created the woman. Now the family was completed and the father had his children. I can't even imagine what it was like for Adam when God created Eve and he brought Eve and presented Eve before Adam. And Adam began to look at her and saw someone that looked like him. Did you know that in this world of relationships, everybody trying to find somebody that look like them? Everybody want to find a place where they belong,
yeah.
Where they fit. Even in the body of Christ, when it comes to churches, everybody want to find a family or a body of believers where they belong, where they fit. Where this is my tribe. This is where I belong. I feel like home here. I feel like they understand me here. I feel like they know me here. I feel like they love me here. So Adam, when he saw Eve, it probably was like, I don't know, he was a man and she was a woman, so he probably thought she looked good to him, evidently, probably. but he was glad to have someone else like him. And when God had finished making everything and then made Adam and Eve, he looked at everything and he said that everything he made was indeed good. It was good. It was very, very good. I put the very on it. He said it was very good, but it was good. Let's look at John 10:16 and see what relationship that Jesus had with the Father. I'm quite sure Jesus did many relationship checkups to see how his relationship was with the Father. He spent many a times on the mountain alone praying to the Father because he valued his relationship with the Father. He also valued his relationship with the disciples. John 10:16 says this, "Another sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd." Family. One flock, one shepherd, one family. The Jews had no dealing with the Gentiles. But now Jesus was saying, okay, the day is coming when I'm going to bring Jew and Gentile together and I'm going to have one family. I'm not going to have a separation in my family because of nothing. I don't want my family separated because of race, religion, or ethnicity or whether they're male or female, I want my family to be one. I want everyone to have a relationship with each other and know that we are family. It doesn't matter if you don't look just like the other member. It don't matter if you don't act just like the other part of the family, but you are family. So let's have a relationship checkup. How's your relationship? How's it with the Lord? Husband and wives, how's your relationship with each other? Mothers, how's our relationship with our children, our sons, our daughters? Fathers, how is your relationship with your sons and daughters? How's your relationship with your, my mother's passed away, but mothers, how's your relationship with your mothers and your fathers? They're still living. How's your relationship with your siblings, your cousins? How is your relationship here in the church with your church family? How's your relationship? We might need to do a checkup. Jesus said Jews and Gentiles were coming together to make one new man. He said in John 10:16, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Then Ephesians 2:15 says this, having abolished in his flesh the enmity that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. Do you not know when people get along, there's peace?
Yeah.
When we don't get along, there's no peace. So Jesus came to abolish everything in between us that would cause us not to have peace one with another. So if there's not peace in our relationship, then there's something off somewhere. And we need to do a spiritual checkup on our relationships. Mm-hmm. I've learned a lot about relationships since I've been born again. Mm-hmm. I knew nothing about relationships before I got born again. Mm-hmm. I sure didn't. Maybe y'all were like me, maybe you weren't like me, maybe you were good at your relationship, but I was terrible at relationships. Mm-hmm. Took me a while after I got born again to get to where I allowed God to help me with relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than coming to a relationship honestly, and facing everything the way I should face it, whether it was good or bad or like I were or not, I would always run the other way. I didn't want to deal with stuff. I just did not want to deal with stuff. I hated conflict. I hated confrontation. And so I was bad at relationships. So I had to come to a place where I had to have a relationship checkup. I had to have a relationship checkup. That's, I had to do that. Let's look at John 10:30. One thing about Jesus, he never had the problems I had. He probably had the temptations like I've had because the word of God says so. But he resisted temptation. Not like us sometimes. Sometimes we resist and sometimes we don't. John 10:30 said this, and I and my Father are one. So Jesus and the Father, they were one. Their relationship was good because they were one. He didn't see himself as being separate from the Father. And the Father didn't see himself as being separate from the Son, but they were one. What the Father knew, the Son knew. What the Son knew, the Father knew. They were one. So what connected Jesus and the Father? Why were they one? What relational connection did they have? And did you know that you have the same connection to the Father? What connection did Jesus and the Father have? They were connected in the Spirit. They were connected in the Spirit. Even though Jesus had a flesh body and he dwelled in a flesh body, he was connected in the Spirit with the Father. He was born and conceived by the Holy Spirit. So he always had a connection with the Father. Not like Adam and Eve, because they disobeyed and sinned, they lost that connection. They had a connection, then they lost it because of sin. And then Jesus had to come and die and pay for our sin so that we once again would have a chance to be connected back up with the Father. We were We were, sin kicked us out of the family, you might as well say. But Jesus came and paid the price for our sin so we by choice could be reconnected to the family.
Yeah. Yeah.
I am so glad to know I got a father. I am so glad to know I got a heavenly father.
Amen.
I am so glad to know I got someone that said he would never leave me nor forsake me.
Yeah.
He would always take care of me.
Yeah.
I have one I don't have to be ashamed to come to at any time with any problem.
Amen.
He will in no wise cast us out.
Amen.
He don't get tired of us.
No.
He never gets tired of his children. He never gets tired of us coming to him and bringing stuff to him. Sometimes our children ask us questions, and as parents, we'll say, that's a silly question. But our Father never says that. I used to tell my students when I was teaching school, there's no dumb, silly question. If you got a question, ask it. You know? And so our Father never gets tired of us asking him questions. Mm-hmm. Although we as parents, we can get tired, but sometimes those kids say, Mama or Daddy, why? And you tell them, but why? And you tell them, but why? And you tell them, but why? So we have to draw on the patience in us. But our God is, he is patience. And so he never gets tired of us. And there's no questions that's too dumb. Another thing I think about what children say, and we as adults tell God too. When you go on a trip, the children say, are we there yet? When are we going to get there? I'm tired. And then sometime in this journey, we'll say to God, okay, God, when are you going to work this out? I'm tired, Lord. When are you going to show me what I need to see? When are you going to do this, Lord? When are you going to do that, Lord? And we're like children because we are children. But he does not lose patience.
Praise God.
He sticks right there with us.
Amen.
And we do a relationship checkup of ourselves and the Father. We can say, okay, Father, you are right where you're supposed to be. You do right what you're supposed to do. You say what you're supposed to do.
Yes.
God, it must be me. I need some more patience, Lord, because you have got this. You have got this. I remember when I had a problem being honest with the Lord. I had another relationship checkup. I didn't know the true nature of God. And I thought all God wanted to do was punish me or tell me how bad I was or tell me everything, you ain't this and you ain't that. So I didn't want to come and be honest with him. Not realizing it doesn't matter whether you're honest or not. He still knows it. He still knows it. Do you know you cannot hide nothing from God? You cannot hide not one thing from him. So like the saying says, you might as well come clean. Might as well come clean. So I find out, well, Lord, I might as well come clean. You know it anyway.
Amen.
So I might as well bring it to you.
Thank you, Father.
So they have a connection because of the Spirit. That's why they were one. They had a relational connection because Jesus was the Son and God was the Father. They were related, like we might would say, they were related, Father and Son. And we that are born again, we are related to the Father. He's our Father, we're his daughters, sons and daughters. And Jesus is not only our Lord and our King, but he's also our brother. The Bible talks about him as being our brethren. So we are related the same way. Let's look at John 17, 20 through 23. And this is going to be a short message. John 17, 20 to 23. This is what Jesus did for us. This is how he prayed for us that weren't in the family yet, but he knew we were coming. And he prayed for the disciples. John 17, 20 says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. So who are those? Those are us. We're the ones that believe through their word. That they all may be one, verse 21. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. That they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. We just talked about what the connection between the Father and the Son, that relational connection, that connection in the Spirit. So just as Jesus and the Father are one, he said, Father, I want them to be one just as we are one. We are connected in the family. We are family. In the body of Christ here at Kingdom Place, we are family. When our brothers and sisters on Zoom, we are family. We are family. Verse 23, I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Did you not know that just like the Lord our Father loves Jesus, he also loves us in that very same way? He's not waiting for you to get perfect. He's not waiting for you to lay down this or that or the other. He's not waiting for your mind to get totally renewed. He's not waiting for none of those things, because in the spirit man, you're already perfect. And he's not waiting for you to get that perfection out of your spirit and start living it before he loves you. He loves you now. Just where you are, just the way you are, he loves you. But someone said he loves you so much that he's not willing to leave you where you are because he loves you too much. He wants you to move on to maturity.
Yes.
To be a mature Christian in him. One that's able to discern the good from the evil. Not just by your spirit, but the word of God said, so your senses will know the good from the evil. Relationship checkup. So what's the definition for relationship? I put it on the end instead of the beginning. Don't ask me why, but that's the way it is. Relationship definition. The relation connecting or binding participants. So in a relationship, there's something that binds us together in that relationship. When a husband and wife fall in love with each other, well, I should say fall in love. Somebody said, if you fall in love, you fall out. So, but when a husband and wife realize they love each other and want to spend the rest of their life together and decide to get married, and they will stand before someone and get married, then they have what? They have established something that has connected them together. They have this relationship or this relational connection of being husband and wife. When you decide to have children, and you have children, and children are born in this relationship, then you have this relational connection between you and your children. So what's relational? An aspect or quality such as resemblance that connects two or more things or parts as being or belonging or working together or as being of the same kind. There's something that connects you together. They cause a relational connection that puts you in a relationship with that person. Because our parents, because of their parents, we have a relationship with their parents because they're our grandparents. Our children have relationships with their grandparents because grandparents. You have a relational connection with sisters and brothers of your parents because they're sisters and brothers. So they become aunts and uncles. Mm-hmm. And if they have their children, they become cousins. So we have these relational connections. Then we choose to have friends. For some reason or other, friendship, something about that person, you connect you together, you become friends. Mm-hmm. And then you have friendship connections. And of course, when you go to work and get a job, then you have employee-employer relationships. So let's talk about a little bit on our closing about relationships and how we need to check up on our relationships. Every relationship needs to grow and bear fruit. Every relationship needs to grow and bear fruit. If this doesn't happen, it will grow cold and cease to be a functioning relationship. Do you have any relationships that are not functioning right now for one reason or another? Something has happened that has caused that relationship not to function. It's grown cold. Maybe something was said and it hurt your feelings. Maybe someone did something and it hurt you. And because you were hurt, now you don't want to even have anything to do with that relationship because you don't want to be hurt anymore. Relationships and family comes from God. Some of us probably can look back and see how we handle relationship very badly. And it caused some real problems that we're facing now. Yeah. And we think, had I done things differently, this relationship would be better than it is now. But the thing is, we probably didn't know any better. Maybe it was before Christ. Maybe we were young babes in Christ and we didn't know how to have a godly relationship. We didn't know how to allow God in on that relationship. There should be no relationship in the body of Christ that God is not a part of. You cannot have a right relationship without him. I can't be what I need to be in any relationship without him. You can't be what you need to be in any relationship without him. He has to be the center. He has to be the center. He has to tell me what to do because I don't know what to do. I don't know how to be a good mother without him. I don't know how to be a good grandmother without him. I don't know how to be a good pastor without him. I don't know how to be a good friend without him. I'm not married now, I'm a widow, but you, some of you are married. You can't be a good wife without him. You can't be a good husband without him. It takes him in every relationship. First, our relationship with him, and then he helps us with our relationship with everybody else. Everybody else.
Yes.
Everybody else.
Amen.
Cultivate your relationship with the Lord first.
Yes.
Let him be first. Spend time with him first. Go to him first. Rely on him first. If you need an answer, look to him first. If you don't know what to do, look to him first. And then he will let us know what to do in every relationship we have. He's our focus. He's our focus. He's our focus. He's our focus. Have we done it badly in the past? Yes, we have. Have I done it badly in the past? Yes, I have. But I've learned to put him in the midst of every relationship. If the other person's acting crazy, if they ain't acting right, if they ain't doing what they're supposed to do, whatever, God, you know, I put you first. I put you first. I'm trying to come in loving and kind and forgiving, and they acting all crazy, but that's all right. But I put you first. I put you first. I put you first.
Thank you. That's right.
I put you first.
Thank you.
I put you first. And then when I put you first, Lord, everything else works out in its own time.
Yes.
There's no instant working it out. But God, if I keep walking and putting you first,
yes,
if I keep loving, if I keep being kind and forgiving,
yes,
then you will work this thing out. Because that's what God does.
Amen.
That's what he does. That's what he does. He cares about us. He cares about every relationship we ever have, every we'll have. And I've had family members that were estranged from me, and I didn't even know why. I guess I said something made them upset or something did something. I don't know. They didn't come and tell me why. But then I just kept loving them. And just kept letting God work it out. I didn't hold anything against them. I just forgave them.
Yeah.
And after a while, you know what God did? God broke that thing down, whatever that wall, whatever God broke it down. And then that they were able to be in relationship again. Relationship was restored. So just like relationship can be broken and it can be shattered, God can come in and restore every relationship
you,
that needs to be restored. He can restore it. And he does restore it.
Yes.
He does restore it. He restores relationships.
Yes.
There's no relationship beyond him being able to restore, especially if both people are Christians. But if you're a Christian, another person is not, you know what? God can make that thing work as best it can work under the circumstances.
Amen.
And you can be a witness to that person of the goodness of God. So relationship checkup. I don't know how good I'm doing as a pastor, so it's relationship checkup. Thank you. So let us check up on our relationship. But you know, we can't check up on the other person, but guess who we check up on? Ourselves. Ourselves. I can't do a check on Mary in our relationship. I have to check on me.
Yes.
And said, okay, Lord, how am I doing in me and Mary's relationship? That's what I gotta do. And Mary has to do the same thing for herself.
Yes.
But God is so good. With our children, let's do a relationship checkup and say, okay, Lord, how am I as a father or a mother? How am I doing? No matter what age your children are, I got grown children and grandchildren. I can still do a relationship checkup and say, okay, Lord, how am I with my daughters and my son and my grandchildren? I say daughters, but I got a daughter-in-law. How am I doing for my grandchildren? Am I being the godly grandmother or the godly mother that you want me to be? Am I encouraging them? Am I honoring them? Do you not know we're supposed to honor one another?
Yeah.
Honor your children, whether they're small or grown. Honor your children. Honor your husband and wife. Honor one another. Am I honoring them, Lord? Am I encouraging them? Am I telling them how much favor they have? I was at the conference. This minister did something that was so awesome. He talked about father relationship with daughters and sons. And he said, how many of you daughters, and he had a daughter, so he's really talking to the daughters, and the sons can apply to it too. He said, how many of you daughters in here, when you were growing up, your father told you he loved you, and he cheered you on and said, daughter, you got this. I love you. You know, you can do this. You have favor. And I thought about the fact, my father loved me. I know he did. He said, your father might have loved you. But my father never cheered me on like that.
No.
And he told us, he said, stand up. He said, sons, you can stand up too. He said, I want to, in the Holy Spirit and through the Father, cheer you on and say, daughter, you're wonderful. You're awesome. God loves you. You can do it, daughter. You got this. You know, and that was so awesome. Because everybody needs to be cheered on. Mm-hmm. Husband, cheer your wives on. Mm-hmm. Wife, cheer them husbands on.
Yes.
Yeah, let them know. Mm-hmm. You know, you're a good father. Mm-hmm. You're a good husband. Mm-hmm. I'm here with you. Mm-hmm. I stand with you. I honor you. Because that's what God wants us to do. Mm-hmm. Because what? We're family. And family loves one another. Mm-hmm. Family sticks there with one another. Family stays with one another. And family put up with our good and our bad.
Yes.
Y'all hear me?
Yes.
Family puts up with the good and the bad.
Yes.
Not just the good. Family puts up with the good and the bad.
Yes.
Because we're family.
Yes.
And we love each other. And at the end of the day, you're still my family.
Yes.
You're still my family. Let's stand.
Yes.
We're going to pray. Father God, we thank you for the word today. We thank you for those that are here to hear the word. We thank you for this another Mother's Day that you blessed us to see.
Yes.
Father God, it's 2022. And God, some of us have been here a long time. So we thank you for blessing us to be here. In Jesus' name. God, we thank you for relationships. We thank you for every relationship you've given us, Lord. We bless you. And Father God, if we have not put you in the center of our relationships, God, we do it now. Hallelujah. We do it now. We do it now. We do it now. Not every relationship is easy. Some relationships are tough. But with you, God, all things are possible. So we can make it through the easy relationship. We can make it through the tough relationships. If we just allow you to be the center of everyone. And we allow you to lead us and guide us in everyone. If we speak from our hearts and our spirit man, God, from you, rather than from our own selfish carnal mind, God, everything will be better. So God, we ask you to help us, Holy Spirit. We don't want to speak out of our flesh. We don't want to speak out of carnality. We want to speak out of the Holy Spirit in our relationships. We want to think about what we want to say, God, before we say it.
Yes.
And allow Holy Spirit to guide us. We want what we say to be seasoned with salt, like your word says. We want to speak encouragement to each other and love. But we also want to speak truth.
Yes.
And sometimes truth is tough, but we want to speak it in love.
Yes.
So God, we say thank you.
Thank you.
We thank you. We thank you for every relationship. But most of all, we thank you for our relationship with you.
Yes.
We thank you that you are our Father and we are your children and you care for us and you do all things for us that we need. So God, we say thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for every relationship restored. We thank you for every relationship to be restored.
Yes.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And those relationships that need to be restored, God, give us wisdom.
Yes.
Give us grace. Give us everything we need in that relationship so that we can do what you want to do through us for the better of that relationship. Let us think about that person and not ourselves. We want to not think about ourselves and what's best for us, but we want to think about what's best for that person, God.
Yes.
Let us look to you for them, like you did for us, Jesus.
Yes.
You did what was best for us.
Yes.
You didn't do what was best for you.
Yes.
It wasn't best for you to die on the cross, but you died on the cross because it was best for us.
Yes.
Died on the cross gave you joy because you saw us.
Yes.
If we have to sacrifice and give up in relationship, then God, let us do that for the joy of what that would do to that person.
Yeah.
It might just bring that person to you, Lord. It might just bring them to where they forgive and where they look to you. So God, we say thank you. Thank you for every relationship. Every relationship. God, we thank you. We thank you for opening up doors. Holy Spirit, open up hearts. Our hearts are not closed to other people, God, in a strange relationship, God, but their hearts are closed to us, like Paul said. So, God, we ask you to open up the hearts of the people so that they will be able to receive the love that we have for them. They will be able to receive the forgiveness we have for them. In the name of Jesus, God, we say thank you. We say thank you. We say thank you. And we give you glory. We give you praise. We thank you for patience. We realize every relationship needs patience. Every relationship needs grace, just like it needs love. And it needs long suffering. And it needs self-control. And yes, sir, it needs joy too. So God, we thank you that you give us all of that in our relationships. But as we walk in our relationships, God, all the fruit of the Spirit will shine forth.
Yes.
God, we want fruit to come in every relationship. If there's no fruit in our relationship, then that relationship grows cold. But we want to have fruit in our relationships.
Yes.
We want to have fruit. And as we have that fruit, God, the people in our relationship will be able to come. They'll be able to pick off the love and the joy and whatever we have to give them. And they'll be able to pick it off and receive it. Because we are the branch on the vine. And Jesus, you're the vine and we're the branch. And the branch bears the fruit.
Yes.
So God, we say thank you. We give you glory, give you praise. We magnify your name. And God, we thank you. We thank you, God. Some relationships are just seasonal.
Yes.
Those that are seasonal, Lord, just let us love that person and let them go.
Yes.
They're seasonal.
Yes.
We're not talking about parents, gods, or husband or wives or children. That's not seasonal. That's the relationship we're always going to have. But there's some relations that are not family that are just seasonal. They're just seasonal, just going wild. And sometimes we try to hang on to them, Lord. And it's seasonal. It's time to let it go. So if there's any relationship that are seasonal and we're hanging on to it, Lord, help us, Holy Spirit, to let it go. Doesn't mean we don't love the person. Just means it's time to let it go. So God, we say thank you for wisdom to know what we need to let go and what we need to work on. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Be seated.
Good, good.
Thank you, Jesus.